Amen. That was beautiful. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's sacred music. That's what heaven will be full of. So sooner we get used to that, happier we'll be. Not only on this side of eternity, but in glory. Joshua chapter 2, please, this morning. I'm in the book of Joshua at the moment for my quiet times, and God has impressed upon my heart to just share a few thoughts on faith this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is Rahab's Great Faith. Rahab's Great Faith. If one was to study the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we'll find a woman by the name of Rahab mentioned. Rahab was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. In fact, she was a woman of low moral standard. A harlot, the Bible teaches us. But God did a work in her life to the point that she demonstrated a faith level that was worth commending. And therefore we read of her amongst the greats in Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab was a woman that not only had a genuine faith, she had great faith. How is your faith this morning? Where is your faith this morning? How much faith do you have? What measure of faith do you and I have this morning that would qualify us to be used of God? Rahab was used of God. And I'd like to encourage you concerning the importance of having great faith in the life of Rahab. Here in Joshua chapter 2, I'd like for us to read verses 1 down to verse number 4. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. We'll read and then we'll pray. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. We ask now that you would still our hearts, cause us to be focused, O God, upon our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God in heaven, increase our faith, that we might trust you for great things in the days to come. O God, you've taught us in your word, if we only had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains in your strength and for your glory. O God, increase our faith this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Rahab's great faith. Here in Joshua chapter 2, Captain Joshua commissions two men to spy out a city called Jericho.
This is the first main city upon crossing the Jordan River, entrance into the Promised Land. It's a fortified city. It's a great city. In fact, the city of Jericho is the oldest city known to man in the world. There have been no less than 20 different civilizations that have lived within this area called Jericho. So this city is a famous city, a fortified city, and this is the gateway, so to speak, into the Promised Land. And Joshua wisely sends two men to survey, to view the city and to work out a strategy on how to conquer this city in order that they might enter into the Promised Land. And it's with this in mind that we are introduced to a woman by the name of Rahab. A woman of low morals, at least she was a woman of low morals, and she courageously takes in these two spies and hides them, protects them from the authorities within the city. So I'd like for us to note here in this passage of Scripture, Rahab's faith. And I'd like for us to see if there are some elements that are worth repeating, worth reflecting within your life, within my life, that we might also be people of faith. In our passage of Scripture that we read in our Bible reading this morning, the just shall live by faith. And if you look closely at that verse there in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible reads from faith to faith. The Christian life begins on a platform of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. From faith to faith, the justified, we are justified by faith and we are called upon to live a life of faith. We are not to live a life of sight, though that's easier, less threatening, tangible. God has called us to live a life of faith, and this woman by the name of Rahab lived a life of faith. So let's examine her faith life that caused her to be worthy to be a part of Hebrews chapter 11. Amongst the big guns, so to speak. The Abrahams. The Noahs. The Enochs. The Sarahs. The Davids. The Abels. And the list goes on and on. And yet we find a woman. A harlot. Non-Jew, within this same chapter, and commended for her faith. I'd like for us to note first and foremost, this woman Rahab had a productive faith. She had a productive faith. Her faith produced works. The Bible teaches here in verse number 4 that she hid these two men. And also note then verse number 6, please, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I'd like for us to note first and foremost this morning that Rahab had a productive faith. Her faith produced works. Her deeds, revealed what she had. She already had faith in the God of Israel, and she reflected that faith in the God of Israel. She reflected that biblical faith by being productive and courageously, unashamedly hides these two spies from the authorities within Jericho. She had a productive faith, and it was materialized in her works. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in verse number 10, it goes on to read, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So if there is faith, there is an outflow. And this woman, Rahab, had productive faith. She reflected that faith that she had within her, and she reflected that by her works. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. Note then Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, it reads, Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, it's referring to Christians here. My beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So he commends these believers for their obedience. Their obedience apart from his absence. Their willing obedience. Note there at the end of verse 12 it reads, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. To work out, to demonstrate. Demonstrate your faith by your works. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. See, this woman had a productive faith. Her faith, the faith that she had, produced an outflow. And my friend this morning, if you genuinely know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then there should be an outflow. An outflow of that faith, a revealing of that faith within you will in some way, in some form, in some shape, it will come out. My Bible teaches me, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Let me ask you this morning, what has become new in your life? Since that point that you claim to have received the Lord Jesus as Savior. Has there been a change? Has there been a desire to do right? Has there been a new want to working against that old want to and battling that? Is there a battle within? There needs to be. There ought to be. If there is genuine faith in Jesus Christ, then there will be an outflow. Rahab was commended for a faith. Her faith was productive. Her faith within was reflected in her actions in that she hid these two spies at her own expense. Go to James chapter 2, please. Wow, this woman Rahab is not only mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, but she's also mentioned in the book of James. Talk about the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Note here in James chapter 2. Look at verse 22, please, to verse 26. Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works in reference to Abraham, and by works was faith made perfect. Mature, the evidence of mature, genuine faith. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Man is justified before God by faith, and man is justified before man by his works. A man, woman or child reveals their faith before God by their works before men. That's what the passage of Scripture is saying. Look at verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? This is the crux. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So in other words, if there is life, then it will produce works. Otherwise, to say you live and have no spirit within you, just as the body without spirit is dead, you're just a corpse. So faith without works is dead also. And there are people out there that live the life of a corpse. And yet they claim to be a child of God. There's something seriously wrong with that. Because my Bible teaches me, faith without works is dead. If there is genuine faith in your soul, if you've genuinely repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there will be an outflow. And that was evident in Rahab. And that's what James is referring to. Abraham proved his faith in his God by sacrificing Isaac. Rahab proved her faith in God by hiding the two spies. Is that clear? Amen. We are saved by faith. Genuine faith produces an outflow. This woman had a productive faith. This woman, Rahab, also had a personal faith. How can we have great faith like Rahab? Well, number one, have productive faith. Allow your life to reflect your faith by your works. Number two, this woman had a personal faith. Go back to Joshua chapter 2. Verse number 9, as Rahab addressed these two men, note then verse 9 that she said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Note that little phrase there, that the Lord. She called the God of Israel the Lord. She had a personal faith. Let me tell you why she hid these two spies, because she knew the God of Israel. She said, the Lord hath given you the land. She called Israel's God the Lord. She testified of the fact that she not only knew about Him, she knew Him, because she called Him Lord. The Lord hath given you the land. At some point, this woman made a decision to receive the God of Israel as her God. We're not told when, but obviously by this point in time, and before those spies were before her, this woman came to a point in her life that she admitted that the God of Israel is the one and true and living God. And she entered into a personal relationship with Him. And therefore she could call Him Lord. Lord. She had communion with the Lord God of Israel. Let me ask you this morning, how is your personal relationship with the Lord? My Bible teaches me if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. But we must cleanse our hands, ye sinners, the Bible teaches us. This woman had a great faith because she not only had a productive faith, she reflected her faith in God by her outworks. She could tell that she was on God's side because she protected these two spies, but also we see that this woman had a personal faith because she confessed the Lord. She confessed the Lord as her God. And my friend, if you want to be a child of God that is known for great faith, then you and I need to confess the Lord. When was the last time you confessed the Lord? Many of God's people are like Nicodemus of old, undercover Christians. Your work colleagues have got no idea that you're a Christian. That's a shame. Now, you don't have to necessarily jump on a milk crate and preach in the midst of your work office. Go for it, as far as I'm concerned. And they put you in jail, I'll visit you. I'll try to appeal on your behalf. You don't necessarily have to do that, but I think there must be a point that if you and I really know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's got to come out. It's somehow going to come out. It's natural. Just like it's natural to breathe because we have life, it ought to be natural to declare the Lord before others if we really know Him as Savior. And this woman personally confessed the Lord. We have no evidence that this woman was known to these two men previously. This is two men that could have harmed her. Confess the Lord. That will increase your faith. She had a personal faith. But also, thirdly, I'd like for us to note this morning that she had a, what I call a providential faith. Providential faith. Note then verse, let's read the second part of verse 9 and we'll read down to verse number 11. She said, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Note verse 10 and 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Wow, what a testimony. She had a providential faith. She was mindful of all that God has done and all that God will do because of what God, of all that God has done. She testified of the power of God. In Psalm 62:11, the Bible teaches us the power belongs to God. And as we focus on all that God is, we can rejoice in the works of God in the past. But the God of the past is the God of today. He's the same living God, is He not? He's the same living God, is He not? And God who worked in the days of Abraham, God who worked in the days of Joshua, wants to work in 2016. But we need a faith that believes God. And we believe that it's the same God, the same living God. He's my God. And I believe He can work. A providential faith. Let me tell you why God isn't at work in many of our lives, because we don't really believe God. Our God is this high. He lives in our back pocket. Or the corner crevice of our handbag. That's the extent of the God of the average child of God. Not Rahab. She was mindful of what God has done. And by that she was saying, oh, God has done this in the past. Who knows what God will do in the future? Providential faith. A personal faith, a productive faith. She also had a perpetual faith. Look at verse 12 and 13. A perpetual faith. Look at verse 12 and 13. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me, or vow unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. This woman had a perpetual faith. She was concerned about her family. She was concerned about her loved ones. Her faith at this time was on the behalf of those that she loved. See, biblical faith, perpetual faith, will affect others. And if you study the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you will find for each one, their faith affected others. Their faith benefited others. You understand? It benefited others. It was a perpetual faith. So Rahab was concerned about her family. And she understood that her faith in the God of Israel, if exercised, will be a benefit to her family. So by faith, she asked the two spies, when you come in and invade, not if, when, will you promise me by faith that you will preserve my family? She had a perpetual faith. And my friend this morning, I'd like to encourage you, for those of us that are the people of God this morning, a biblical faith is a perpetual faith. It's concerned about others. And therefore we will take steps for the sake of others. I have no doubt in my mind that Rahab was not only thinking about her own well-being, she was concerned about her own family. She was concerned about their future, their well-being, their safety, their faith in the God of Israel. And I thank God for our founding pastor, Pastor Marvin Matthews, who came to this blessed country of ours in those early 60s by faith, in obedience to God Almighty, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to plant a New Testament church on the northern suburbs of this great city. And because of his faith, I was born again at the age of 14. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. His faith has changed my life. His faith has affected this person right here. And your faith has the potential to infect somebody else. And we need to have such a faith that is perpetual, that thinks of the next generation. And you and I need to take those steps of faith that will benefit those that we love and the generations to come. See, we're the beneficiaries of the faith of Pastor and Mrs. Matthews. Are we not? You have the potential to be the beneficiary of the next generation. Let me get awfully practical. Wonderfully practical. If we will continue to walk by faith and trust God to provide the resources to build this extension, that will benefit the next generation. Will it not? Yeah. More classrooms. More space to teach the Word of God. That's a step of faith. So we have a golden opportunity, church family, in 2016 to trust God to work in our hearts, to do our part. You do what God wants you to do. I'll do what God wants me to do. And God will bless our faith. And could it be that God would have us to build an extension in this building so this church can be used in a greater way for the glory of God? Amen. That's what it's all about, is it not? Rahab was concerned about others. She had a perpetual faith. She had a profitable faith as well. Look at verse 15. You think quick and I'll talk quick. Look at verse 15. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. This woman had a profitable faith. She used what she had to help others. This woman lived on the wall. Now, historically, the wall that surrounded Jericho was a large, thick wall. And it was quite common, very common in fact, for people to have their homes embedded in the wall. We're not told exactly how, but she lived in the wall. And she used that opportunity, that facility that she had, to not only receive, but to disperse those spies. To help those spies. What do you have that can be used to profit others? This is the kind of faith that Rahab had. She understood that providentially her home was on the wall. So she could use her home, her window, to release these spies. God said to Moses, "What's in your hand?" Moses said, "A rod." God used it to reflect and demonstrate His power. And my friend, God has given us so much. And we need to be mindful of that very fact. And we can be used. God can use what He's given you. Your gifts, your resources, your talents, your expertise, your abilities can be all used for God's glory. She had a profitable faith. Her faith was used of God to not only conceal these men, but to help them to escape. For example, by faith, you can use your vehicle to bring people to church. And if you'll bring somebody to church, it could be that next message that it will change that person's life. That's a profitable faith. I thank God that this church invested in buses that picked up people and brought them to church. I was one of those individuals. I was brought to church by a church bus. I thank God for that. I thank God for the faith of our forefathers within this church family that saw the benefit by faith to invest in transport that will potentially bring young people to church where they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's exciting. Profitable faith. Her faith was also a promise-based faith. Verses 17 to 21. For the sake of time, look at verse 21, and she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. This woman had the faith or chose to place her faith in the words of these two men. These two spies promised this woman that when we invade, we will spare you and we will spare your family. And Rahab chose to believe those words. And beloved, this morning, the Word of God is full of thousands of promises. Thousands of promises. God the Father has given us thousands of promises in His Word. And a faith that is great is a promise-based faith. A faith that rests in the promises of God inscribed within the Word of God. God said what He meant and meant what He said. God said it, that settles it. That's a great faith. Resting in the promises of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That's a promise. That's a promise-based faith. And last but not least, she had a public faith. Second part of verse 21, it talks about a scarlet line or scarlet cord that extended out of a window. A scarlet cord hanging out of her window. Her faith was public, and these men said to her, "We'll preserve you, but make sure that you maintain that evidence of your fear of God by the scarlet cord." And my friend, this morning, Jesus Christ is that scarlet thread throughout the pages of Scripture that lead to salvation. And this scarlet cord that stemmed out of Rahab's window was a mark of their promised salvation. And as we read the pages of Scripture, Jesus Christ is that scarlet thread, that scarlet cord that points to salvation. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Rahab was called upon to publicly display her faith to those without. And my friend, great faith is when you and I will publicly declare our faith without. Amen. Where people won't be wondering, what are you? It'll be obvious, oh, he's a Christian. That's a Bible-believing Christian there. How do we know? Oh, the scarlet thread that flows in and through their life. Well, if we had time, we'd go to Joshua chapter 6, verses 23 to 25, and we'll note that her faith was rewarded. Rahab was spared, her family was delivered. And Rahab was included in Hebrews chapter 11. She had great faith. My friend, this morning, in closing, how's your measure of faith? Oh, but Pastor Rahab, superhuman, man. I could never be like Rahab. Listen, she was an immoral woman. She lived the lowest of lowest life. But God showed mercy upon her. She was made out of flesh and blood like you and I. But yet she's in Hebrews chapter 11. And she's in James chapter 2. How do you explain that? The grace of God. Her faith in God. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Let's trust God to do great things in 2016. But be it according to your faith. What step of faith is God calling you to make? I dare say for some of us, God is calling you to take a step of faith. Amen. You know it. God has your number. Hey, don't be afraid. God wants us all to live by faith. In fact, all of us are called upon to take a step of faith. This new building project, it's a step of faith. I said to the good Lord the other day, Lord, I've never done this before. As if God didn't know that. And it was as if the Lord said to me, my son, I know that. It's okay, you've never done this before. Trust me. It'll happen. By faith. The just shall live by. Let's bow for prayer.